So Walter Cannon was a physiologist at the late 19th, early part of the 20th century who taught at Harvard Medical School and came up with the phrase fight or flight. As a physiologist, he studied human behavior, and what he noticed was this acute stress response when humans are confronted with danger or adversity or troubles or whatever else. The body and the mind make a decision, do I go to battle or do I run away? So just by a quick show of hands, how many of you like to fight in here? Okay, there's no shame in it. How many of you like to fight? Just raise your hand high. So a lot of you are liars. Okay. How many of you like to run away? How many of you, just like the last time I preached, won't participate because you're a Lutheran and this is not what Lutherans do? There you go. There's the rest of you. So I'll be honest with you, and I'm honest sometimes to my detriment. I'm a fighter. I have been my whole life. In the smallest situations, I will go to battle because I live by what General George Patton said, battle is the most magnificent event in which one human can engage. And that has been true for me for my entire life. I love going to battle, and I will fight for some of the dumbest things in the world. And here's how it works for me, is when I get ready to battle, you have to dress right for battle, right? You have to get ready. You can't wear your Sunday best to battle, which is why I wear jeans, FYI, okay? There's not a room for a gun in my slacks. So I get ready for battle. It's my Air Force uniform. Don't anyone make a joke about the Air Force in battle, okay? Look at some of you Army guys. I get ready for battle. And I battle for the right things, and I make sure that I get ready before I go into battle. So I get my breastplate of righteousness, right, and my helmet of salvation, okay, and then the sword of the Spirit, but I don't use swords much. You know, I use a gun. It's unloaded, just FYI, in case any of you are wondering. So I arm myself for battle, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to face whatever life has to throw at me. And so often in life, I have done battle in this figurative gear. I've done it in St. Louis as I fought for children whose parents were drug addicts or whose mom's boyfriends were abusive. I did it for the special needs kids that I used to work with who didn't have access to running water. I've done it in relationships and in jobs I've worked. I get ready to go to battle, and I have everything that's necessary to protect me, right? Obviously, I'm not always wearing this when I fight for things, though maybe this would be better if I did. But here's what I've noticed as I battle in life. I get into the battle. I get into the fight. I'm fighting for what I think is right, what I think is good, and then I feel beat down. Because no matter how hard I'm fighting, no matter how much I've prepared myself, no matter how good a shape I'm in, all of this stuff that I arm myself with gets a little bit heavy over time. And as the junk keeps flying at me and as it feels like I consistently feel adversity, I end up feeling like I'm fighting the battle alone. Do you ever feel that way in your life? Do you ever feel like the battles that you're involved in, you're fighting on your own and you're out there on the front lines and you're going hard and it seems like the more you fight and the harder you go, the worse it gets and all that you have to look forward to is defeat? You ever feel that way? If that is what you're going through now, or if that's what you have experienced in the past, then Psalm 46 is the battle hymn for you, because Psalm 46 is a battle hymn for people who are weak and defeated. There's no history that goes around Psalm 46. There's nothing that tells us why it was caused to be written, but we know that when we read through it, it applies to more than just that time and place in history. I mean, just look at a couple of the verses. If you turn onto the back page of your bulletin, in verse 2, the earth gives way. And in verse 6, nations rage and kingdoms totter. Turn on the news and you can see this happening right before our eyes. I mean, what the psalmist said thousands of years ago is so true today. I mean, we obviously think a little bit globally as we look at the news. We think about the fact that we've been involved in a war for 17 years and that all these nations are having inner turmoil, which is causing civil wars and causing people to have to run from the places that they've called home to seek refuge somewhere else. But think narrowly for a minute about your life. Think about your home and your family and your community and how it seems like that is falling apart. I mean, families are crumbling because parents are battling for more money or more power at work rather than battling for their kids' time and interest. Marriages are being torn apart because couples go to battle against one another with their hatred and their anger, and they're experiencing internal battles from things like pornography or addiction or pent-up resentment. You can see community devolving in front of your eyes as you look and see that our society values more this independent view of a journey through life rather than a communal one. And yet the more we battle for what's right, the more we battle for what's good, it seems like the more we're taking steps back. I mean, truthfully, I fear for what my son is going to experience in the world. Because I've only been here for 27 years, and it seems like in that time, everything has gone downhill. And it seems like no matter what gear you have on, you just get struck time and time again and your helmet falls off. And as the battle rages, your breastplate deteriorates and your heart is left unprotected and all the weapons that you've been using just seem absolutely worthless. Is that how you feel in life? Because truthfully, that's how I feel a lot of times. That in the midst of the battle, no matter how I arm myself, none of it does any good. And you're just left sitting alone as the world crumbles. So the question is, where do you go for hope? Where do you go for comfort? And where do you go for safety? In the 8 a.m. service, we do a children's lesson, and I brought this little house in here from our nursery. It's a plastic thing. It's super lightweight, and I put Davis Masters in here, if you know who that is, and I topped it over asking, you know, do you feel safe in there? This is not a house that you would want to ride out a hurricane in, just FYI. And yet so often in life, what we do is we put our hope and our comfort and all of our worth in things like this. And things that aren't going to protect us. Things like that become our fortress in life, and yet that's not how it's supposed to be. Because as the world is crumbling, and as everything seems to be going downhill time and time again throughout your life, we have Psalm 46, which testifies to a much different truth. I mean, verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Do you know what this means? It means that we don't have anything to fear. That even though we feel like we're fighting the battle alone, and even though our weapons aren't working and our armor has fallen off, that God is there with you to fight the battle. But more than that, God is there to win the battle that you could never win. But here's the hard part of Psalm 46, and in my opinion, the hardest word spoken in all of Scripture. I mean, I can love other people, right, as much as I don't want to sometimes. I can love other people, but listen to what God says in verse 10. He says, be still. That's hard for me. Partly because I have ADHD, partly because I want to do everything on my own. And yet God says to be still in the midst of this battle that's raging, in the midst of all that you're supposed to be getting done, he tells you to be still and rely on him. But that is hard, because let me just speak some honest truth to you. There are times in our life where we're on our knees and we're praying and we're asking God to grant us relief, and it seems like all of our prayers are falling on deaf ears. And so the call to be still is, wow. And that is an act of faith, to be still and trust that God is going to take care of it.
to trust that God is going to take care of it, maybe not in our timing, but definitely in His. And to trust that the ultimate battle that we're all up against, that battle against evil, He's going to win. But man, that is hard. See, the words, "be still," call us to come to this complete reliance on God, to not put our trust in our human strength or our human weapons or whatever else, but to trust Him alone, to put our hope in His strength, and to look at Him as the fortress. And here's the thing, like I said, I mean, so many of us flee to something like this for our fortress, things that don't matter, like material wealth or how big our house is or what kind of car we drive, and we put our stock in all those things, or we can flee to our bank accounts for refuge or to our stocks and bonds. Well, listen, none of that's going to matter when you're in the grave. Have you ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse? No. I have one time, but it's because somebody bought a hearse, but that's another story. I've got some weird family members. You can't take any of it with you, and so when you put all of your hope and all of your stock in all these things that don't matter other than God, you're just wound up to be disappointed and feeling like the battle's over. But listen, the battle is not over, and Jesus is going to win it. Let me just ruin the story for you. Jesus wins in the end. See, our fortress is something that we would least suspect. Our fortress is the pierced side of a Savior who is willing to die to love us. Our fortress is Christ alone. Amen? Amen.
You know, the 8 o'clock crowd was more enthusiastic than that. Just going to put that out there.
Let me just wrap up with this. You know, I think that everything I've said is something that you need to hear, otherwise I wouldn't have said it. And I think it's important that you remember that as the battle rages, God is going to be with you no matter what. That God will fight for you, and that He already has on the cross. But that is thinking very much internally about ourselves. So let me ask you something different. If the church, which is not a building, it's a people. So we are the church. If the church is meant to be a safe place and a haven for those who are broken and beat down and hurting and lost and can't fight for themselves, what grade would you give the church for that right now? Because here's what I've noticed. And I'm not speaking specifically about Grace Lutheran, okay? I'm kind of speaking more universally about the Church Catholic. Is that so often we as Christians view the fortress as a way to keep people out. So we don't welcome those who are different than us. And we don't welcome those who are struggling with sexual sins, or those who are harboring deceit in their hearts, or those who are still wrapped up in addiction, or who are living together, or whatever else. Because we want to think of the fortress as this clean place to be. But that is not what the church is. The church is not a country club. The church is a hospital. Our fortress is not full of people who have their life together. Our fortress is full of people who are broken and hurting and who can't fight the battle on their own. So what would it look like if the church was a fortress that welcomed people in rather than kept people out? Let me be honest, it starts with you. Are you willing to be a safe place for people? Are you willing to show grace to people who are sinning differently than you are? Are you willing to be someone that people can come to and you can say to them, hey, you are not facing your battle alone. Your fortress is Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Jesus loves you. So do I. Amen.